Welcome to Spring the Beacon with Ryan Rieger.
Today we play Lego, and Daddy helps the other guys stay home and play Lego.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Streams of Income radio show. I'm your host, Ryan Rieger, and today is my guest, Paul Alex. Guys, he has an incredible story. I loved listening to every minute of it. He's a former police officer in Oakland, California, started an ATM business, and it blew up. Now, he had his fair share of failures, like we all do, but he stuck with it, had persistence. He said something that really stuck out to me. Now, this was after when he started teaching this, but he said he envisioned it. He envisioned the business. He envisioned the impact that he could have. He had this big whiteboard with his team. It was just drawn all out. But I'm a big believer in having dream boards and believing big. And so that just really stuck out at me. But we talked about networking, the power of that, and how your network is your net worth. But incredible story of moving from a police officer to building this very, very large business where he has ATM machines and merchant processing systems, but he teaches other regular folks on how to create passive income from these streams. I'm actually very much interested in it myself. I'm going to explore what it's all about. But I really think if you're interested in some passive income, this could be a very good potential of a way to and have an asset that brings you money every month. And I just really think you're going to enjoy this episode. If you want to listen, go to Paul. He's on Instagram, Paul Alex on Instagram. Also go to atmtogether.com, atmtogether.com to learn more about his ATM business and how you can jump into that. He has a whole program where he'll teach you how to do it, even do it for you. So I'm going to check that out. But here is my interview with Paul. Paul, welcome to Streams of Income, man. Good to meet you.
Ryan, how are you doing, buddy?
I am wonderful. So fun to meet you. I love what heard a little bit about your story, and I'm eager for my audience to hear. It's so fascinating and very inspirational. So tell me who you are and how you got to doing what you're doing now.
Yeah, it's actually a very unique story, you could say. Certain parts of my story is cliche. I always like to say cliche because, a book really transitioned the way that I think and live now. Mm-hmm. But to get started, I always start like this.
Yeah.
I've lived three lives. I was in corporate America for 6 years.
Okay.
I was in law enforcement for 7 years. And now full-time entrepreneur going into my fourth year,
wow.
Fully full-time, completely changed the dynamic of my life, live in a completely other side of the country from California to Miami, now have dozens of employees, mm-hmm. and I get to interact with people from all over the world, which is the most fulfilling part of all this, man.
Yes.
Because I come from you could say a public servant position as a police officer before.
Yeah.
And I really loved my job. I was fulfilled being in law enforcement because I actually loved interacting with people. I'm big on meeting good people, networking, environment, and just being positive overall.
Yeah.
Man, that's what life is about, right? Life's too short, dude.
It
so, to start off, guys, the last 2 years while I was in law enforcement, I was working in actually Oakland, California. I'm originally from the San Francisco Bay Area. So I was an Oakland police officer for 7 years. I was a detective 5 out of the 7 years.
Wow.
And around 2000.
That's a whole, you probably could do all kinds of stories just on that right there alone.
a very unique time in my life, to be honest. I never thought I was going to be a cop. At the age of 24, I was in a 7-year relationship at the time with my ex. And her cousin was a sergeant of police at the time for San Francisco PD.
Yeah.
And we always hang out. And I remember her cousin one time was just like, "Hey man, so have you ever thought of being a cop?" And I was just like, "No, to be honest, like I've always been like a sales guy. I've always just, I'm big on communication. I'm big on customer service. And I'm just big on, being charismatic and having great conversations with people. And usually people are able to build a foundation with me, which is one of the key elements of sales." And he was just like, "Dude, you'd be phenomenal as a cop. You should try." And I was just like, it was in my head. It was lingering in my head like time after time. And then finally, around 25 years old, I was in the middle of my 20s. I was just like, you know what? Sales doesn't really fulfill me anymore. You know, it's always like a reset every month. It's just numbers, quotas, big corporate America. At that time, that company was a multi-million dollar company. Now it's a multi-billion dollar company. Wow. So they were a real sales organization called Ecolab at the time. Mm-hmm. And yeah, man, fulfillment just wasn't there for me. So I was trying to figure out life at the age of 20, which I know the majority of people right now, especially with social media, I feel like that's huge. A lot of people are trying to find their why. They're trying to find what's their purpose in life. Mm-hmm. And that's what I was trying to find, man, before this whole social media thing happened, right? Mm-hmm. And I went and I actually started applying. I started applying to agencies. And I remember I saw a posting for the Oakland Police Department, and there was a big, big, big banner on the side of their police department that said, want to better the community and make over $100,000 a year, which was like, that was a great hook, especially if you're a marketer. Yes, like I look at that now, I'm like, wow, that's amazing. Like that's whoever really was in their marketing
and $100,000 for a police officer's position. That's incredible, right?
Incredible. In the Bay Area at the time, this is before like the tech boom and all that jazz. After the tech boom, of course, everything skyrocketed, which, oh my God, you need to make a minimum of 100K now in the Bay Area to survive.
Right.
So at that time, it was very appealing. I was just like, you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. If I'm going to be a cop, I'm going to be a cop's cop. I'm going to go and try to work in one of the most dangerous cities in America at the time. Wow. And that's what I did, man. I applied. I didn't think it was going to be as hard as it was to actually get into the police department. At that time, it almost appeared like as everyone had the same idea, or maybe it was just the marketing, but there was over 1,500 applicants at the physical agility test. It took nearly 3 hours for me to do a 30-second physical agility run, like, you know, jump the fence, sprint, and, you know, carry a sandbag dummy, one of those dummies, just to see what you could do. And yeah, it was just craziness. So it took me a few times to actually get into the police academy. And finally, the one key takeaway that I could tell anyone who's listening to this right now that actually is looking to be a first responder in 2024, whatever city that you want to get into as a police officer or firefighter, do some community service. That's what I did. I actually took about a month off of work, paid vacation, and I went to the food banks. I went to help a lot of homeless shelters. Mm-hmm. I did a lot of community service. And what ended up happening is, you know, God's plan, event coordinators, they were like, Paul, you're great, man. Like, we love you. And we're going to do you a big favor. We're going to actually write recommendations to the city for you on your behalf. Oh, nice. Because we know you want to be a police officer. And I was just like, this
Where'd
is
you
like
the idea of going and serving first. I mean, that's like business 101, like in our, what we do now, you want to serve people, like you're serving people on my audience by being on my podcast now. I'm serving you by allowing you access to my audience. But like, what gave you that idea to like, I'm going to take a whole, cause that's a big deal. Take a month off, no pay. To just volunteer?
Yeah. To be honest, I always tell people this. I put my pride to the side when it comes to thinking outside the box. And I always think, what is the greater good? What is the longevity play instead of instant gratification?
Yeah.
And that's the way I've always thought when, ever since I got out of high school, man, you know, out of high school, I did not know what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. I, at the time before I went to community college to go get my associate's degree for business administration, I was working at Macy's Women's Shoes, man.
Okay.
A part-time. I know. Yeah. It's funny. I always tell people I was like literally Al Bundy. I was like Al Bundy slinging like Macy's Women's Shoes.
Yep.
And it was a commission-based job. That was like my fundamentals of sales initially. Mm, yeah. And, but here's the thing. At that time, during this, in the San Francisco Bay Area, I had a few friends that started getting into entrepreneurships themselves, and they started creating nightclubs for 18 and over people for that audience, because you couldn't get into nightclubs until you were 21. So everybody that was under 21, it was just like, what do you do on a Friday, Saturday night besides go to the movies? So they figured it out. They were just like, dude, we should do nightclubs for like the 18 and over crowd. And then I started attending these events. I was just like, man, this is like awesome. And they're showing me like what they're able to generate as profit. And at that time, you know, I didn't have a mentor. I came from an immigrant family that just knows how to work hard. So I was just like, that was my first taste of entrepreneurship. And I was just like, man, these guys are making what I make in 6 months in one night. And that's just from perfecting what they know, which is market people and how to bring the audience, you know, with like the right DJ or the right artist. And I was just in awe when I like saw that, right? So then when that had happened, I got into the whole nightclub industry. But I didn't get into the nightclub industry as far as passing out flyers the traditional way. No, I actually asked for an investment from my stepdad at the time. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, hey, dad, like, do you think you can like invest into me launching my first ever nightclub event? And it was great. It was a 1,500 plus person venue. Uh-huh. I ordered artists and everything. So basically my overhead cost was around 10 grand. Okay. And that's what I needed. I was just like, hey, dad, you know, this is the idea that I have. I think I could do it. Well, humble beginnings, right? And what you don't know is what you don't know. I ended up getting 500 people to that first event in a venue that holds 1,500 people, mm-hmm. barely broke even, but I still had to take care of expenses after the fact, right? So when all said and done, I lost that $10,000 investment essentially in my first event. And that was heartbreaking. That was heartbreaking. This is back in 2008, 2009, man. So you got to think about it. $10,000 back then, especially for like an 18, 19 year old. Oh my God.
That's a big deal.
Dude, I felt like I lost $1 million. And on top of that, I borrowed it from my family member, from my parents. So I felt like crap, man. I was just like, the world's going to end. Maybe this entrepreneurship thing is not for me. But I ended up figuring it out. I threw a second event. It did quite decent. And because of that, I was able to network, which is a big takeaway that I always tell everybody, especially in business. Mm-hmm. I've been able to scale, and we'll talk about this in the next few minutes, but I've been able to scale tremendously faster because of my network.
Yep.
Because that one entrepreneur, like, you know, how we're talking right now, Ryan, I've talked to you, and you know, you give me access to your audience. Without you, I wouldn't have been able to present this story of, you know, humble beginnings to where I'm at now to your audience without connecting with you first. And it's the exact same way throughout my entire life, you know, mentors, people that have a bigger network than me. This is why I contribute so much. And I always tell people, your network is your net worth, right? Yes. So with that, I was able to expand. Within 6 months, I was bringing in 1,000, 2,000 people to nightclubs, man. I was packing them out before 10 p.m. I was able to pay my parents tenfold. And that was my real first taste of entrepreneurship at that young age.
Yeah.
Then reality came in. Reality came in, the market wasn't as sustainable as I thought. Also, I didn't have the proper mentorship to be financially stable. Where to invest my money? I was blowing it, man. I wasn't financially educated. I mean, I was young and dumb. It is what it is. And I'm very transparent when it comes to that. I always tell people, yeah, I had a lot of fun in my 20s. But at the end of the day, if I was to tell my younger self, like, hey, dude, focus, save your money, and keep investing, and just let it work for you, you know? Yeah. That way, you don't have to work as hard as you do in your 30s and your 40s and your 50s, right? Or you don't have to stress about money.
Yeah.
So essentially, to go back now, to move past that time and go back into law enforcement, back in 2017, I had a coworker who was around a 15-year vet with the department. And all he would talk about every single time I would talk to him about was ATMs, automated teller machines. Mm-hmm. And he was the first guy I heard from. And I was always be like, yeah, that's interesting, man. And, you know, I still had the entrepreneurship spirit, no matter what. That's just how I was. And that's how I was able to come up with the idea of first going into charities and providing value. So then the department has that idea of, hey, how bad does this guy want? And it makes you stand out of the crowd, because when everybody else goes and applies to be a first responder or a cop, and it's a six-figure job, they can pick who they want. You're not special. Right. I'm not special. I'm an average guy. So how do I stand out from the thousands of applicants out there
Yes.
that are trying to apply that probably have leverage because they completed a four-year college. I only completed a two-year, and then I dropped out to go work in corporate America.
Yeah.
So they already had that advantage. And then also, a lot of people don't realize this, but with majority of law enforcement agencies, typically you are joined because it's in your bloodline. Like it's in your family. You have some type of connection. You have like a friend. You have someone who's tied into the department. And then guess what? You're coming in as a referral.
Yes.
They're coming in like, oh yeah, that's such and such lieutenant's son. Oh yeah, he's a shoo-in. Yeah, mark him in there. So so you're competing against this. I'm going in as a walk-in. And ultimately, you know, that's what allowed me to actually get into the academy class of 60 applicants at that time that beat over 1,200 applicants. Had me stand out. 2 years later, I am getting voluntold by the captain of police at my department, like, hey, you're doing so good. You're a very proactive officer, meaning that I am actively going and looking for like the most wanted criminals from the top 10 most wanted list.
Awesome.
And man, it was, I'm going to tell you something. The day that I essentially graduated was one of the most proud days I ever had. And the reason why is because I didn't learn until later that my mother, she's actually from Peru. She's from Lima, Peru. She immigrated to the United States, but it was her dream to be a detective.
Wow.
And she wasn't allowed. She wasn't allowed to be in the police force because in her country, unless you had some political power or you were a celebrity, a normal woman wouldn't be allowed to join the police force. So essentially, when she learned that I wanted to join the police force, she didn't tell me that until after I graduated. And she was like, I'm so proud of you. You are literally living my dream.
Wow.
And that day, I remember I got cried with her because I was just like, yeah, I mean, this is awesome. Like I went through so much trial and error to be a cop and I didn't know. I was so uncomfortable, man. The entire time that I was there, I was a sales guy. I'm, you know, a corporate guy.
Yeah.
And to go into the police force, especially at that city, it was just like night and day transformation of, you know, everything that I've ever thought I was going to do in life.
Yeah.
So 2 years going in, I was voluntold by a captain of police, like, hey, we want you to be part of a special investigation unit. And I remember I was one of the first ones out of my academy class to get basically tapped on the shoulder. Ended up going into a gang unit that specializes just on like investigating the most dangerous gang members in Oakland,
right,
essentially. And ended up doing that for about a year, year and a half. And then I ended up getting picked up and going to a very special task force, which was for narcotics. And this task force, they would send one officer from every agency in the county to go and be assigned under the sheriff. So I was representing the Oakland Police Department, but I was working under Alameda County Sheriffs at that time. And I did that for about 2.5 to 3 years.
Okay.
Being in that unit completely changed my life, man. That completely changed the view of not only policing, but then also how police work was done. That's where I learned the skills of writing, which transitioned to me writing my first book just a couple months ago. And then also it made me fall in love with writing copy online for marketing. So essentially when I started my whole marketing venture and started really taking hold of being like a CMO, chief marketing officer for my companies, I would write all the copy, man.
What
I would
did
write
you
the
learn
stories.
In the police department that helped you with copy, or what were you doing there that related to that?
Yeah, absolutely. Great question. So what would help is most people don't know that it's not like the movies where the cops, you know, they go and they arrest somebody and they go to jail and that's it. No, it's actually that part of police work is literally only like 2%. The rest of the time, what you guys don't see is 98% of the time, cops are actually either in their car or in the office typing reports.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
And being a detective at that time, that's all I was doing. I was typing reports, especially if you're writing a lot of search warrants, you're writing a lot of arrest warrants. I mean, these documents, they're no small potatoes. They're not a pager. I wish they were. Majority of these things were probably like 30, 50 pages long.
Oh,
and you had to be on point, like attention to detail, because why? Number one, they are going to be read by federal judges, local judges, state judges. Wow. And then on top of that, if you get a case charged, okay, you are more than likely, you're going to be told to go to court and remember everything that you wrote. So you have to be very, very.
Like you got to study ahead of time to go. Oh my God.
Yeah. You have to make sure you do due diligence. And that's why, you know, coming into business, that's how I run my companies. That's how I run the culture of my business is attention to detail, left to right. We make sure that we cross, you know, all the crosses and dot all the I's, and we make sure that everything's done correct. And that's why I believe in good business.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, to fast forward, got into that unit, and essentially I was working anywhere between 80 to 100 hour work weeks.
Wow.
And I didn't find that out until I was actually deep into police work. It was very fulfilling. It was very fun. But at the end of the day, you are working. And it's pretty standard for first responders to work that many hours. Yeah. A lot of people are like, that's unheard of.
A lot of hours, but not making a whole lot per hour because you're working so much.
Yeah, we're working so much. And that's the thing. I wasn't educated in financial freedom. Mm. You know, I wasn't educated about financial literacy when I was growing up. My parents, they showed me how to go work hard, but they didn't show me like, hey, there's certain ways you can work smarter, right?
Yeah.
And essentially, my last 2 years, that's when I started getting burnt out. That's when I started realizing that I was just working all the time, man. And I was just like, is this what adulthood is all about? Just work, work, work. Yes, I was able to become a millionaire on paper while I was a cop before I started all my businesses because of real estate. I started investing into homes. I was buying homes every 2 to 3 years in the Bay Area, as you know. Yeah. Prices increased like crazy. So on paper, I was making the money. But in order to live what I would like to say the American dream, I was sacrificing my life, my time. And I'm a big family guy, man. I'm a big family guy, dude. I love my parents. You know, I care for the people that are around me. I want to take care of them.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I'm going to tell you this. It was definitely a transition. So I was looking for something that was going to build my residual income.
Yeah.
Because as you know, of course, is that residual income, without having residual income or passive income, you're just going to keep working and working and working. Mm-hmm. And if you only have one source of income, you're only one step away from poverty.
Right.
So I was just relying on my active income. And in order for me to make, at that time, it was around 2017, 2018, I was making upwards of $250,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
But look at how many hours I was working.
Yeah.
I was there all day, every day, man.
Yeah.
There was days where I would have to go work overtime and I didn't want to drive 2 hours in traffic back home. So I would just sleep in my car. I would sleep in my car, man, during between the shifts. I would go back into the department, shower, and then go next to my next shift. And a lot of people did that. A lot of first responders still do that. And that's what I learned while I was a cop,
small
right?
Kids at home that they're missing out on so much.
At that time, yeah. Like there was a lot of officers, a lot of the officers, they had families, they had kids. They're missing out on life, just life. And I get it because you have to sacrifice. You're the breadwinner. So you have to sacrifice everything for the family. And that's a lot of people's whys. And that's why when I tell people about business and starting a side hustle, I tell them like, look, it has to be more about money. It has to be more about the idea of what you're doing it for. Because once you get to the point, once you make enough and you're able to fulfill every materialistic thing that you've ever wanted in life, you're going to realize that those material things do not matter.
Right.
And then from there, you're going to say like, what more? So you have to have a reason behind making that money. What options is it allowing you to have? And for money, a lot of people that do not see it like this, but they realize it once they're like, man, I have to go work and I'm going to miss the special occasion with my family, or I'm going to miss my child's birthday. Well, if you had passive income, if you had residual income, if you had a secondary source of income, guess what? Now you have the option to choose whether to go to work or not to go to work, right?
Yep.
And at that time, 2017, 2018, I didn't have that option because I was just like, man, I'm relying on the active income. I have to keep doing in order to keep up with the Joneses.
Yeah.
And that's where I took a chance on the idea of ATMs. And it started with a very simple business. People always ask me, Paul, did you become a multimillionaire off ATMs? And I tell them, no, I didn't. I was actually a millionaire already because I worked hard at a 9-to-5. I invested my time into investing into real estate, which is it's a longevity play. I always say that. Longevity play, it grows, it's an asset. So I always tell people this. The first step before you go into entrepreneurship, especially for a lot of younger people, right? They always say like, how can I become a successful entrepreneur? I would say, get into sales. Mm-hmm. Get into sales. Sales is the number one skill everybody can learn. And you have to think about it like this. Everyone is selling 24/7.
Yeah.
If you have a business, if you go to a consultation, if you get advice, that person is essentially selling you on the idea, on the advice, on the item, on the offer, absolutely everything.
Yeah.
So I always say sales is the number one soft skill that people can learn. And that transitions to helping you in business. Why? Because you're able to relate to people. You're able to build foundation. You're able to add value. You're able to educate folks.
Yeah.
And people buy now in 2024 from people. They don't buy off corporate brands anymore.
Right.
The world has completely changed because of social media. And not a lot of people are realizing that, right? But if you're in the game like we are, like essentially you see the market. I see the transformation. It happens very fast.
Yes.
Now you have a lot of people using AI, artificial intelligence, you know, and they're replacing a lot of these influencers. But here's the thing. If currently right now you're using digital marketing for your business, okay, and this is not to go off the beaten path of, you know, talking about, we're talking about ATMs. But if right now you're using digital marketing for your business, learning soft skills, learning how to speak in camera, learning how to communicate properly is the number one skill you can learn and also invest for longevity.
Yep.
Because
good.
If you are very unique, especially with communication skills, no one can take away that from you. And I always tell people, well, Paul, what makes you different from everyone else? They can't duplicate my story. They can't duplicate the way I talk, the way that I actually build foundation with people. You know?
I love it.
Yeah, man. But
that's awesome.
With the ATMs, I started with one ATM.
Okay.
And within 2 weeks, I went to the same strategy. I'm a big, big believer in basics. So the same strategy that I took a month off of work to go do the community service to get into the police force, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Well, humble beginnings. Exact same format, man. I took 2 weeks paid vacation from the police department and I threw on the old suit and I went to go prospect. I went to go door knock. And at that time, I read a couple books. I didn't have a mentor, but I landed 6 locations for myself. I remember at that time, I had a Dodge Ram 1500 with like mud tires, looked like a monster truck. And I just threw all my ATMs in the back and started driving them, dude. Like my father's location at that time was like 2 hours.
Wow.
And I remember my first month, I landed those 6 locations. Half of the locations barely made any money, man. Like I think 3 of them made only like 50 bucks, less than 50 bucks. And then on top of that, I was driving a gas guzzler, 7 miles per gallon truck, driving 2 hours, dude. So I was spending more money than it was making. And I was just like, okay, I got to figure this out. Like, I cannot lose. Like, no, this has to work or it has to work, right?
Right.
And that's another key takeaway that I tell everybody. In entrepreneurship, if it was easy, everybody would do it. Everybody would be rich. So get ready for some adversity, guys.
Yep.
Adversity is going to happen 100% of the time. There's no way you are not going to fail. You're going to fail.
Yeah.
But the key takeaway is that you have to get over it and learn it and take it as a lesson.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the biggest thing. Anytime I fail in anything, even at the stage of the game, I take it as a lesson. Because I've never gone through every situation. I'm human. Okay. Yeah. I'm 36. I have a lot of life experience, but at the end of the day, I still don't know everything. And I always tell people that I'm not the smartest person in the world, but guess what? I stay a student in the game. I always learn from people that are smarter than me. Right. So I go ahead and I pick people's brain. And then I take that piece of information that they taught me from their life experience or what they know or their expertise. And then I make it my own.
Yeah.
This is how I've become successful. This is how I've been able to cut several years to actually going through the struggles of building businesses.
Yes.
Now I'm able to take the same blueprint that I know and just duplicate mm-hmm. and just build companies now. And it's amazing. So with the ATMs, I had 6 locations, 6 ATMs, 3 of them failed. I then went back and I started going on Facebook. I started going and joining communities, right? Because I was big back in the day. I was big on Threads, where people would go and they would post a comment, almost like Reddit.
Yep.
And they would go and post a question, and then you go read down the threads, educate yourself, figure it out, ask questions, and all that jazz. So I used Facebook groups, which was one of the first communities I used. And it's pretty cool because I used the Facebook groups then to build my digital marketing empire that I have right now. Mm-hmm. And I'll get into that in a minute. It's pretty exciting stuff. But so I go on Facebook group and I meet a fellow out of Southern California at the time. I was still in San Francisco. And really good guy. I messaged him. I was like, hey, man, do you think we could get on a phone call? You know, I'm very old school. I was just like, I don't like the text messaging back and forth. Yeah. He's like, yeah, sure. So I ended up talking to him, telling him my story. I was like, hey, I'm a cop. And, you know, this is what I'm going through. And I'm trying to build residual income. I think ATMs is a great simple business that I could do that I understand. And I was wondering, could I pay you to essentially just give me advice? That's it. I'm not going to like hound you, man. I'm not going to expect anything. I just want you to give me advice. If I call or I text, like you just answer my questions. Yeah, sure. And then we build a relationship. Mm-hmm. And then eventually, within the next few weeks, he ends up connecting me with his friends down in my area, okay. The San Francisco Bay Area, technicians, yeah. Vultures. And Vultures is basically, it's a title in the ATM industry where it's a third-party service mm-hmm. that fills your ATM with cash, and you give them a percentage of the surcharge.
Oh, fee. So you don't have to go around like a vending machine, bring the cash correct. With you. Oh, wow, yes. That's awesome.
So he connected me with techs. He connected me with Vultures. He connected me with other ATM deployers. But here was the biggest win. And this is why I always reference your network is your net worth. He had landed a humongous dispensary contract at that time when I was starting out. Mm-hmm. Dispensaries were expanding all over California, man. Yes. They were just expanding everywhere. It was big business. Mm-hmm. Because the law had just passed. Well, here's the thing, guys. Dispensaries was one of the biggest earners because by federal law, dispensaries cannot use credit card processing. So they had to rely on cash.
You get there thinking you got your credit card. Oh, I don't have any. You can't take it. Where am I going to get money? Well, we got one right over here.
We got an ATM. That's you know, awesome. go withdraw the money. So you're basically forced if you want to buy from the dispensary. So then he says, hey, Paul, could you handle a couple of these locations for me? And I'm going to cut you in. And I was just like, yes. And he was just like, dude, I'm like, it's cash heavy, but you're going to get paid extremely well. Well, I'm going to tell you something. My first dispensary was netting me a month. $1,500.
Wow.
Just one, guys. Think about that. Wow. Just one.
And compared
so
to
powerful.
Like real estate, I mean, you'd be doing good at making $100 to $300 a month.
Yes.
Profit, right?
Correct.
On a piece of property that you may have, I don't know, your area, but in most areas of the country, maybe you put 40, 50 grand down. But this is a lot less than that.
Oh, yeah. It's a lot less. Yeah. You know, at that time, to go back to overhead expenses for anyone that, you know, was thinking about it. At that time, I had spent $2,100 per machine. Mm-hmm. Internet modem was around $150. Internet service monthly for ATMs, very specific for that industry, it's about $7. Mm-hmm. And then the cash inside. So depending on your location, I always tell everybody that the median that you want to start out with is around $3,000. $3,000 of cash, $20 denominations inside of the ATM. Yeah. When it goes empty, you actually get an alert to your phone through an application. It says like, hey, you're below 500. Make sure you go load it up. And you usually have like about a day or two to go do it.
Okay.
So it's great, especially if you're a big planner like me. You want to make semi-passive income. Mm-hmm. The great thing about this business is the opportunity that I saw ahead of time because I'm more of a visionary guy. I'm not an operations guy. I'm a visionary guy. And this is why I always hire people that are smarter than me when it comes to logistics. Mm-hmm. And I thought ahead of time and I was just like, okay, once I start expanding more than 10 ATMs, I'm going to go ahead and start hiring vaulters and I'm going to start hiring on-call technicians. That way I won't have to go and service it in the middle of the night, or I won't have to go and fill it up with my own cash. And that's the leverage. Now the cash that I was using to go and load up these ATMs, I was able to use
it to buy
that
another machine.
Yeah, I was able to go ahead and expand and buy more machines. And then the vaulters were using their cash and they were getting profit and everybody was happy. Wow. So essentially, that's how I was able to expedite from those first six, the network that I got from my mentor, because I made the conscious decision to pay for self-education because I saw the value. And for a lot of people, they're like, courses don't work. Mentorship doesn't work. It works, guys.
Yeah, they do.
It works. It changed my life.
Yeah.
Oh, a book changed my life and it's changed my life. Books, I've never been an avid reader, man. But ever since I was in law enforcement, you know, I was basically forced because of my job to read and write. And words change the game. Okay. Yeah. Reading changes the game. Knowledge changes the game from the right people. Right. And that's exactly what I did. So it changed my ATM business from being a struggling ATM business from six ATMs, barely making it, to making my first $3,000 in 3 months. Uh-huh. Okay. And then expanding to 10 locations, getting dispensaries added to my whole portfolio, expanding to 30 locations, and then netting anywhere between $12,000 to $15,000 a month.
Nice. From 30 locations, 30 ATMs.
From 30 ATMs at the time.
Nice.
And this is what it accomplished, guys. It didn't accomplish me being an instant millionaire, but what it did accomplish, and this is a big key takeaway here, guys, let's talk about financial freedom. My bills at the time, including my mortgage, everything, was around $6,500. So if I'm netting $12,000 to $15,000, not only am I financially free, I don't have to work at that time. I can make the conscious decision to go ahead and say, I don't want to do police work anymore. And I'd be okay.
Yeah.
I could go ahead, still grow my business, still invest in my business, and cover my bills.
Yeah.
And that's ultimately what should be the goal for everyone, is to cover your bills. So from there, what I did instead of just quitting, because people always ask, like, when should I quit? And some people, they quit before they have a successful business. And I tell them that's not the way to do it. You have to suffer just a little bit, but hang in there and grow your business so you're able to cover your bills. Well, what I did is instead of working 80 to 100 hours and getting instant gratification from getting paid directly from their department, I just went to work in my normal hours, 40 hours. Mm. Now I had a fully passive business because I had vaulters, I had technicians. Mm. And then as a true serial entrepreneur, I went and I was just like, you know what? Let me see what else I can do.
Yeah.
I jump back on social media and I get targeted. Zuckerberg, man. Zuckerberg targeted me, man. And Facebook ads, saw an ad for a book called Digital Millionaire. Mm-hmm. And I read the book. Sounds cliche, but a book changed my life. Mm-hmm. A book changed my life. And I read the book. And it was a remarkable book regarding an entrepreneur who was a bar owner, and he learned how to create, do Facebook ads to attract audiences to his bar. Mm-hmm. And then eventually he got so good at doing Facebook ads that people started asking him, hey, can you just teach us how to do Facebook ads? So then he was just like, you know what? Light bulb. Mm-hmm. He ended up doing his first webinar. Yeah. And he made $45,000 in 1 hour from one webinar. And when I read that, I was just like, how is that possible? How is that possible? But what you don't know is what you don't know. See, guys, I was very insulated to my area, to my bubble, because I wasn't online. So I wasn't communicating. I wasn't networking with the rest of the world. Like, everybody's networking connected now. Mm-hmm. So I didn't know. I didn't comprehend that he could get hundreds of people inside of a Zoom room and then go ahead and present the value that he provided, which was Facebook ads, and then sell them on education. Mm-hmm. And then people would buy because he's knowledgeable and he has the authority to do it.
Yep.
So then I was like, this is crazy. So then there was a what we like to call a CTA, a call to action, meaning that, you know, in the book they say, like, hey, if you're interested in buying education from me, then you could go ahead and book a call with my consultant. And that's what I did. So I remember sitting in my car. I just got home from work, and I had just worked overnight, and I was tired, but I was just like, I'm gonna do this call. I'm gonna see what they say, and we'll take it from there. So I get on the call, and they're like, "Hey, so the first question I remember is, what are you good at?" And I was just like, "Well, I'm not really good at many things, but I'll tell you this: I'm good at being a detective in law enforcement, and then I run an ATM business, and I'm financially free because of it. And I just want to see what else I could do to basically make money online." So then, flat out, the consultant, and I love him for this. I don't know who he is now, but I love him because it completely changed the way I thought of things. He goes and says, "Well, no one likes the police right now." So that's out the door. The ATM idea, that'll be a good idea. You'll make a lot of money from that. And I was just like, "What do you mean I'll make a lot of money?" He's like, "Meaning that based on your results and the value, like you're going to be able to help a lot of people." And his next question, which basically closed and sealed the deal for me, he asked me, "Well, how much money would be life-changing to you?" And at the time, guys, this is back in March of 2020, okay? March of 2020. This is smack in the middle of COVID. I go ahead and I'm like, "To be honest, man, I don't know anything about digital marketing. I don't know anything about social media. I don't even know how to put my profile picture on social media right now." And the guy says, "Okay, so how much?" And I said, "If I can make $10,000 a month from selling education online, it would completely change the dynamic of my family. It would change everything for me. I would probably leave the police and then focus on this." And he said, "That's it?" And the way he said it so casually. That's what completely changed like my mindset, is the fact that I was talking to someone who was just like, $10,000? Like, that's it. You could do that. That's easy. We have people making $100,000 a month here." And I was just like, are you serious?" And then he told me, he's like, "Hey man, the program's 10K. You want to do it, yes or no?" And he was just very straightforward, black and white, dry. And I was like, "Dude, this is like such a big risk. I was so uncomfortable. I didn't know anything about digital marketing, but something told me, something inside of me, my gut feeling, they were like, this is going to be good, Paul." They're like, "Just invest." So I invested. I invested. And I told myself, this was the conversation I had with myself after I hung up. I was said, "If I can't make that 10,000 back, it's on me." That was the accountability that I told myself. It has to work or it has to work. There is no looking back after this, right? And I went ahead and 6 months, April of 2020, I launched my first Facebook group, which is called ATM Business for Beginners, which is actually still running 3 years later. And it's actually one of the largest ATM-based groups on Facebook with 86,000 members right now.
Wow, it's your free group, probably your lead magnet, right?
It's my free group, man.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
That's
it's my
great.
free group. And I do lives till this day. I just did one last night in that group for free. Just add value. I do Q&A. I get to know my audience. People love it because they get to talk to me on there, man. And to be honest, like I tell them about my life, like what's going on. And I resonate with them. I tell my story and just like how I'm talking right now with you. And people are like, "Man, this is so cool. Like, dude, like this is so different from a lot of the programs that we see online right now." I was just like, I stick on my own lane. Like, I don't really like focus on what other people are doing, man. Like, I like to do what I think myself as a customer would appreciate.
Yes,
And
that's
that's the
great.
information that I go out there, man. I go out there and I put myself in the customer's shoes. If they were looking for an opportunity to make a secondary source of income, and then what the expectation would be, especially coming from someone who wasn't used to digital marketing, wasn't used to the ATM business, and just breaking it down so simple that anyone can understand. And that's what led our success, just the simplicity, how we're able to scale the business for people and how easy it is for them. So started the Facebook group, man, and started with about 10 people inside of that. And organically, I would go out and I would go and reach out to certain folks that were interested in other ATM groups. And I would tell them like, hey, I've been in the business myself. I just started this group. And what I like to call guerrilla marketing. Essentially, you would just go out there and like, just be like, hey, how's it going? Network. You're essentially just networking online. And that's what I was doing. So I was networking online on my time off now that I had quite a bit of time off besides working 40 hours. And I genuinely enjoyed it because it was a challenge. So I love a challenge. It was new, it was exciting. I was just like on the computer all day, man. I was just like, dude, this is awesome. I'm building my new digital business. And November of 2020, I launched my very first program called 30 Day ATM Biz. And that program, the concept is it's just like the name. I can help you set up your ATM business within 30 days. And it was a full informational course. I sold it for $9.97. And the first month that I released it, I made $3,000. And I was just like, wow, this is amazing. I made 3,000 bucks my first month from online. Like, who would have known, right? Like, I'm serious. Like, 2008 me would not have believed that I'm able to make $3,000 in 2020 from online. Literally, not going into an office, not going and selling someone in person, just from my home in my shorts, literally talking to people on Zoom. It's crazy. So then the next month, I made 6,000. And I'm like, okay, this is going well. We're increasing. I'm still a solo entrepreneur. I'm still working as a detective. I'm still running my ATM business. I'm still able to go to the gym. I'm able to still get some sleep, and I'm generating revenue. And I'm like, this is life-changing. This is awesome. So what do I do? Before I get my ROI back on that $10,000 course, I invest in another program. I invest another like 15K, man. And I'm like, dude, I need to learn more. Like, I was getting addicted to like just learning and learning from these people because I was like, this is working. So then after investing in that second program, I had like an epiphany. And I was just like, you know what? The void in the market is the fact that people want it easier, faster, simpler. Easier, faster, simpler. There could be 10 people, 20 people selling the exact same thing that you are. But if you're able to make it faster, simpler, and easier, you're going to win. And that's what I found out. I found out that a ton of people were struggling with sales. A ton of people were introverted. A ton of people just didn't have the sales knowledge to go out there and close deals. And I took it a step further. I was just like, you know what? I have the network. I have my resources. I need to leverage this. So I connected with a call center. I connected with one of my processors that I knew could ship out machines to people that I would mentor. I was just like, I had all the tools and the resources all along. I just didn't put it together at that time. And in January of 2021, I revamped the name from 30 Day ATM Biz to ATM Together. Went ahead and put all my resources together and put it in a nice box in a business in a box, and presented it to my first client on a call. And I remember it was on my mother's birthday on January 15th of 2021. And it was 2 hours away before dinner. I was going to take her out to dinner for her birthday. And I remember I was on the call. And the client at the time, he's a military guy. And he was just like, man, I respect the fact that you were in law enforcement. I love the fact that you're in the ATM business. Dude, let's do it. Like, either way it goes. And then I tell him, I was just like, okay, well, here's this brand new package that I have. Never told anyone else, but I'm going to tell you. Here's your machine. Here's the location. And we're going to guide you through filling out all the documents. And then you get to actually check out the location to make sure that you like it. And you get to meet the owner and all that stuff. And then we're good to go. We'll have a technician like teach you how to program the machine, how to work it, everything. And we'll do it for one price. And he goes, I'm sold. Here's my visa. And I was just like, there's no way. Like, that call was only 15 minutes. Like, there's no way. And that essentially was like mind-blowing to me that I was able to make what I made the month prior in one call. in one call. And because I pivoted to make it easier, faster, and simpler.
Yes, that's awesome.
For the clients. So then I went ahead and I'm calling everybody. I'm calling all my teammates. I'm calling my vendors. I'm like, guys, we need to have a big meeting. And I remember there's like five of us. And I'm like, guys, this is the plan. We got to get ready for volume. And it, I just envisioned it, man. I envisioned it. I went to Home Depot. I remember my office at the time when I was living in Warner Creek in the San Francisco Bay Area. I did a do-it-yourself whiteboard, and I covered every single one of my walls, man, in my office. And I was like a mad scientist. I was just like, right, okay, this is how many clients we need. This is exactly how the logistics is going to work out. This is how we're going to grow every single month. Da, 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 da. By my third month, March of 2021, mm-hmm. I was still working as an officer. I was still able to work out. I was able to still see my family. I was still able to sleep and take a sales call, run a marketing agency, everything. I made $130,000 in one single month.
That's
as a solar entrepreneur from this business, which blew my mind.
Yeah.
It was a milestone. And I remember going to work. And it was almost like I was a zombie at work because I was just like, this can't be real. It's like I escaped the matrix. Like, it's just like, dude, I see things for what it is now. Like, wow, this is crazy, mm-hmm. right? Because I just made what I would make on salary, just solely salary as a police officer for 1 year.
In one month.
Yeah. I was like, wow, this is crazy. So then I told a really good friend of mine, and I told him, I was like, hey, man, so, you know, I had started this online business based on the success of my tangible ATM business. And he's just like, well, how's it going? I was just like, dude, I made $130,000 this month. This is crazy. I don't know what to do. Should I just still stay as a cop or should I like expand it? He's like, dude, are you stupid? He's like, you need to leave. He's like, go grow your business, bro. Like, do it. Like, you can always come back.
Yeah.
You were an award-winning detective. They're going to take you back if you fail at being a business owner. But go try. You have to take a risk.
Yeah.
So that's what I did, man. 2 weeks. I went all in, dude. I actually went to the point where I was just like, you know what? New career, new environment, new everything. I was just like, I told my lady at the time, I was just like, hey, we're just going to go to San Diego. Mm-hmm. We're going to go to San Diego. She's like, why San Diego? I was like, every time I go training over there, you know, for investigation classes as a detective, I just loved San Diego. You know, it's nice weather, the beach, the environment. I was just like, I just always envisioned myself having a place near the beach. And that's exactly what I did, man. I sold my house at the time. Mm-hmm. Told my mom, I was like, hey, mom, I'm leaving in 2 weeks to San Diego. She's like, what? Like, where are you going? She's like, oh, yeah, I'm also quitting the police. She's like, oh, my God, like benefits, blah, blah, blah. She lost her mind. She was just like, you're crazy.
Yeah.
I was like, mom, trust me, it's going to work out. I'll be okay. And I went in there with the vision, the intent, but then also executing the actions that I said that I was going to make happen, mm-hmm. which are the key elements to this whole, you know, success, what I like to say. Mm-hmm. And I went to San Diego, man. The next 2 years, we took ATM together from the first year of being $1.7 million in revenue business. Mm-hmm. Now it has year to date, it has crossed the 20. No. I'm sorry. It's at 25 million in revenue in itself.
That's crazy. This is just the educational side where you're teaching people how to have their own ATM business.
That's it, man. We help build the businesses. We show them exactly what to do. We've helped over 3,000 clients. That's just straight the educational portion of it. Digital marketing, it definitely is a good tool to not only help people, but then also if you're looking to make an impact, like a ripple effect, it definitely exposes you to the masses where you can basically tell them what value you have. And that's exactly what we did. You know, I showed people exactly the steps that I did. I showed people exactly the resources that I had, the vendors, my connection, the network, absolutely everything, the mindset. So some of my clients, they actually became employees of mine.
Wow.
because they were able to transition and change their lives, make six figures a year from their ATM business. And I'm like, dude, people need to hear your story, but then also I love your work ethic.
Yes.
So I take the best of the best and I'm like, hey man, come join the team.
That's so cool.
You know, I'm gonna give you salary, commission,
tell people
whatever
I wanna,
it is you need.
Just, I got a couple minutes left here, but I want to, I have a call in 3 minutes, but I pushed it because I want to hear more. I want to hear like for, just how to get started, like what people, where people should go to learn more. And then maybe just a little bit of the details of what a business like this looks like. Cause I know you also have a done for you option. So where can people find you?
Yeah, absolutely, Ryan. So people can find me on Instagram, which is Paul Alex. And then the website for the company is www.atmtogether.com. Guys, what we offer a done with you, done for you package. We also offer a full educational program as well. You have different options and it's going to range depending on what you are looking for. We can either help you with the machine, the processing and the education, or we can help you just full out, build out the entire business for you.
Mm. What's that with the done for you option? What is that? I mean, we don't need to get into pricing right now because you probably have a team that you talk that people talk to. But what's the detail to that? Like, is it literally completely hands off? Like, walk me through if I said, I'm in, I want to do done for you. What's that look like?
Yeah. So what it looks like is the day that we enroll you, we actually help you set up your LLC virtually. You'll have an like customer support team via like a Slack channel, which is like a messenger channel. And they help you with the exact details. We also have modules that you have to walk through, a checklist that you have to do. And then from there, we actually go and we vet the banks in your area. So we get you your bank account, which is very difficult in the ATM industry because you're competitors for the banks. So we help you with that process. We also help you walk you through the steps of filling out all the paperwork for your processing network and your ATM processor. We ship the machine to you. We then connect you with our technicians. Our technicians, they train you one-on-one. Mm. From there, I always like to say, hurry up and wait. So you're just going to wait a couple of weeks while our location finder team finds your location. Once we find the location, we negotiate, we handle all the deals.
And does that
have
to be in my local area?
Correct. Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Is there a reason I couldn't own a ATM right there where you are in Miami?
So you could, but you have to find a vaulter to go ahead and fill up your ATM with their money. And I always recommend when you're brand new, you want to vet the location a minimum of 3 months to make sure that it is profitable. Because ATMs are floating assets. Doesn't mean it's going to do well in every single location. You can always move it.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Nice. If you have to move it, there'd be logistics of it sitting in Miami. How am I going to move it when I'm here in Dallas?
Correct. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Interesting. Wow. Well, what are there other questions you get from people that we didn't, I mean, you told your story and a lot of the details of the business came through that. Is there anything that you tell people that the questions that they have in their mind about this type of business that I didn't ask you?
Yeah, absolutely. The first objection you could say that people always, or question that they ask is, well, isn't cash going away? We have credit cards that we're using. We have Venmo, we have Zelle, we have all this. Well, here's a fun fact. 25% of the nation is technically unbankable, meaning that they cannot access a bank account. More than likely due to background, due to status, citizenship status. If they have criminal history, some banks won't allow because of financial reasons. So at the end of the day, people have to go ahead and use actual charge cards, which the charge card companies, they do charge them a percentage to go load up those cards. Typically, people will go to either a location where the charge card is able to go ahead and load up those cards, like liquor stores, convenience stores that do that for people. Mm-hmm. And then they go ahead and they use the local ATMs. Okay. Other than that, it's a very niche market.
Yeah.
And you have to think about it like this. Just because we don't have the rest of the 75% of the United States, we still have 25% of the United States that still does actively use it.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of people. That's hundreds of millions of people. Me, myself, every time I go to a taco truck, every time I go to the valet, every time I get my car washed, guess what?
Yeah.
Casually businesses. So.
Yeah. So what do you say? Like, I live in an area where there's a lot of folks from south of the border. But you and you're in Miami, and that's the case there too. Do you feel like those areas of the country are prime for this type of business?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is coming from somebody who's Peruvian and Mexican. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
Flat out, yes.
Yeah. Very cool. Paul, this has been awesome. I love your story, your energy. Guys, you need to watch the YouTube version of this because he's got the best smile in the world. So
just, it's just so fun.
I love this. Thank you so much. You're welcome back anytime. If you have updates in your business or just other things you want to share about, I'd love to have you back.
Absolutely, Ryan. Let me know if you need anything further, but thank you very much for having me on your podcast. I hope everybody enjoys this.
Yes, thank you.
Bye-bye, everyone. See you next week.